But when it's Nama, we can see how amazing the Nama is. No place at all. But whatever is experienced is there. Like we put things in the cup of water, it's there, it cannot go away. From one moment of Lopa, Dosa and Kusala, on and on and on. That's why nobody can see one's own accumulation if there is no direct awareness. When it does not arise, how can one tell about how much we have accumulated, what type of Kusala and Akusala? Until it arises, then we know.
But why should it be amazing that Nama can accumulate so much, or that there's so much in the Nama? Isn't it just Nama
The Nama?
I mean, from the standpoint of can,
knowing that it is now experiencing an object is so amazing.
From that aspect, yes. But once you understand Nama, then that comes along with
uncontrollable. So it's so amazing how it arises, having different aspects, changing from moment to moment, by conditions only. Is it amazing for seeing to see? How can it experience whisper object when there is no I base? It's impossible for this reality to arise and to experience whisper object right now. And it cannot hear, see? No one can make any arrangement for any elements at all.
No, I was thinking more like some people think everything's stored in the brain. I think that would be more fantastic.
Because there is no understanding of the thinking at that moment. The thinking is more amazing. How can it think about brain and lots of thoughts?
When you think of Chitta, Jetasika and Rupa arising and falling, that's all there is. It is amazing that we've all managed to get here in one piece, sort of, so to speak, and to be discussing. Like, I know in this moment there is just those realities, but it seems like that there's a group of people discussing Dhamma.
Actually, it's more amazing where it's no one at all. Just dreaming about this room and people.
Yes, that is even more amazing.
What we think is here, actually nothing. Only the arising of citta, thinking.
And all that's made up of just one moment after that.
And completely gone. Moment.
When we hear this sort of thing, it's so easy to think that there should be some conscious effort to see things differently.
Who is thinking like that?
Exactly.
That one
right or wrong thinking? Not understanding elements as elements at all.
Right. But in order to understand elements as elements...
That is the idea about managing?
There is the idea about managing, definitely.
The world manager?
Yes. The individual manager, not the world manager this time.
I have a Dhamma friend, a Dutch friend, who asked me to ask you, what can we learn from Mahayana about emptiness, sunyata?
Do you call that Mahayana or wrong understanding because there is something now? Is it nothing or something?
To me, it is something.
So we don't have to call it Mahayana when there is such idea about
emptiness.
Emptiness. You can say, how can we talk about emptiness? How can we know about emptiness? Yes. Because it's empty. So yeah. There cannot be understanding of emptiness at all.
But they do have some explanation, right, for that.
Concept.
You can have any concept you want to
have. Empty of his thought, because he is thinking, so it's not empty because that is he who thinks.
But in the teachings we learn that it's the same as empty of the self, no self in it.
Who is thinking? Emptiness or what? Or thinking?
Are you saying, Ajahn, that what's the use of thinking about emptiness when we don't know what's arising?
Is there any explanation for they, emptiness?
They do.
What,
I don't have it right now.
What is empty?
I don't know. I thought
emptiness.
Okay, what is empty is not empty because it is something. And we talk about it as empty, but actually it's something that one thinks about emptiness. It shows that there is no understanding, only thinking about emptiness. You don't like that convinced because you like the idea of no understanding or wrong understanding. Talking about emptiness, right
yes.
or wrong?
Is it right or wrong? I think it's right. Because don't forget, Ajahn, we're just using language. With the way the Thais think in their language is very different to how we think in English, Italians. It's only language. By emptiness, all that they mean is a translation. All that they mean is that if something arises and passes away, it has no substantial entity. So therefore, they use the word emptiness.
Is that
but it's only language.
What your friend think?
That's what he thinks.
Yes.
That's what was the because that seems to be the discussion that it, because it is so impermanent, we're wrong in saying that it has a characteristic, that at that moment it has a reality.
And that is the meaning of anatta. But we also know that all dhammas are anatta. When it means anatta, it's all right.
Yeah.
But one has to understand that meaning too.
The moment that there's an arisen nama or rupa does have a characteristic for that
mm-hmm.
moment. So
yes.
it is real for that moment.
Yeah. But the
but
sense
it's
of it, it's uncontrollable and anatta.
Yes, yeah.
So it depends on what you think when you talk about emptiness. When you think that anatta is right, but when you think that there is nothing.
Yes.
I think he is Mahayana and he thinks something more to it than just anatta, more. But I don't know much about this subject.
Shunyata.
It's empty of independently arising
yeah.
phenomena.
It's
the same thing, you know. But it's emphasis, and it's just, I don't think we should get lost in this.
Mm-hmm.
Too much about here and now to talk about.
That was sort of going to be my point, that why should we get caught up in something we don't understand, because it would seem that the urgency to know the present moment as it is seems
mm-hmm.
like a more important.
And when you're trying to generalize, you know, like millions of people who are Mahayana followers and what their practice is, any more than...
I'm not talking about Mahayana followers, I'm talking about Mahayana. I'm not talking
as
about
a reality
the followers.
Or
as the teaching. That,
as a
that,
teaching.
Yeah, as a teaching.
I think it's just like you study, anyone who wants to study Theravada and Buddhism. When I first met Ajahn the first day, it was completely different than every other Theravada teacher I've ever heard. It's emphasizing on here and now. And I was trying to just express my own feeling too about how it's just here and now. You know? And I think there's some Mahayana teachers that's just right there here and now too. And there are very few. It's mostly concept, like everything. But I'll just never forget the first time with Ajahn Sachin, and you held up the glass of, what's this? Immediately forcing recognition of direct experience of reality. That's rare to find as
right.
a teaching. We're
yeah.
privileged here, all of us.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about Maya.
We'll see. Nina, was it different to Sunyata? He was meaning something different to Sunyata.
I get it from the suttas, but it has also other meanings in the Patisambhida Magga. It explains more about it, that this is empty of that. But I don't understand much about it, so I don't like to dwell much on it.
Mm. All it is it inherently not self-arising, so it doesn't have a self. So emptiness is without inherent arising, and that's all it is. So it's just a momentary.
The only difference
arising.
I can see is that not self is described in Theravada as a characteristic of dhammas, whereas emptiness, I'm not sure if it refers to dhammas. Do you say dhamma is emptiness, or I'm not sure how emptiness relates to dhammas, but I find it useful to think of dhammas as not self, as they are also anicca and dukkha, but specifically relates to presently arising dhammas.
Mm-hmm.
and not to some concept of general impermanence, general dukkha, general not-self, as an abstract notion.
So the only terminology of emptiness is obviously very limited in its own ability to communicate. It's the understanding that we're trying to get from these various terminologies.
Just for the record, Nancy and I took a Mahamudra course one time in Tibetans, and I've studied Abhidharma thanks to Nina's book and with Prayal, and there was nothing I could teach them about Abhidharma. When they talked about the present moment, they talked in absolute Abhidharma terms. So to think that they just speak in general terms, that's just concept, because they do have a very good understanding of Abhidharma, and they know how to articulate it very, very well.
Yeah, and also a commonality of thread rather than distinct, or that there's distinction, you know, like maybe we need to look more as an inclusive, like trying to understand the commonality of these threads, because it is still coming from the same texts. And I guess I would have to profess complete ignorance in these matters. So I try to find a common thread and see how these different terminologies that have arisen through different traditions, if there is an actuality similarity in what is being said. Because the reality, the universal understandings and realities are the same.
Well, I think this is why Khunsu Jin always says we don't have to use the words Mahayana or Theravada, or we can just talk about or learn more about realities.
That's great.
I have a question about the Eightfold Path. At the moment of Lakutara Jitta, all eight arise, but I've heard that before there is the realization of Nibbana that some of them arise, but is it a random sum of them, or is there five Jitta seekers?
Because Viruddhi cannot arise three together at a time, except in Lakutara Jitta.
So Viruddhi is like
right speech.
Speech, action and livelihood.
One of them can. So it is fivefold pass or a sixfold pass when it is mundane.
Oh, okay.
And again, five or six, it depends when it is abstaining from wrong speech, etc. But Lakutara Jitta has
all
eight. So the bases are eradicated of wrong speech, etc.
So it's either one of speech, action, or livelihood, or two at five or six.
Yes.
Either none of those,
either
one of
all.
Them.
One final one for me today is, what conditions the arising of kusala?
Wise attention. Right attention
to the present moment,
whatever level of kusala,
and that's yoniso manasikara.
Okay. Is there only sati? Can kusala arise?
There can never be just sati, because there must be more than that, more jetasikas. Whenever there is sati, citta is wholesome, no matter it's kusala or kusala vipaka or kriya.
But panya will not arise with every moment.
Not necessary. But whenever panya arises, there must be.
Did you say sati with vipaka?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
See, I didn't know that.
Sati can be kusala or vipaka or kriya.
So they're not jittas that can arise now?
Yes, bhavanga jitta, when you're born with.
Okay. So sati can arise with the patisanti jitta. But that would mean a higher realm of birth?
No, when you're born with aditya, aloba and adosa, there is also sati with the vipaka citta, and it can be with panya as well, amoha, with three wholesome roots. And there has to be sati
but
too.
But there can't be sati with, say, the seeing citta, with vipaka citta.
Those are ahetuka.
Oh,
no roots.
And not just patisanti at birth, but in between the mind on set.
Yes,
the
one.
I was going to ask Khunsu Jin, as Vince pointed out, sometimes some so-called Mahayanists actually appreciate the Abhidharma much more than some so-called Theravadins. But we often find, especially if people don't appreciate Dhammas as elements, they may have a lot of resistance to the Abhidharma and the commentaries, because it's difficult to actually read the Abhidharma and the commentaries and not read about elements. do you mind if people criticize the Abhidhamma or the commentaries or any parts of the text? Or do you just appreciate that everyone has to develop understanding and find out for themselves?
Yes, so we have to understand what Abhidhamma is.
Not a textbook.
This moment.
But if someone is thinking of Abhidhamma as being a textbook, and we object or think there shouldn't be this kind of criticism, it's because we ourselves don't appreciate that Abhidhamma is not a book. It is reality now. When we appreciate more and more that Abhidhamma is just a moment of seeing or visible object, then we mind less what people criticize or object to.
I'm thinking about the cartoons, how the attachment to Islam, and if we start to get attached to the text and all that, who knows, one day.
And what about just Dhamma? Any idea about Dhamma? If they resist Abhidhamma, do they resist Dhamma?
I think so. I think that when there is ignorance and wrong understanding, there's always going to be resisting to elements and Dhamma's nice.
Says the teachings, the whole teaching.
The teachings. But I think it's not just they, I think it's the same for all of us. I think that at any moment of ignorance or attachment or aversion or wrong view now, there is a resisting, there's not appreciating, there's not detachment from Dhammas or any understanding at this moment. So I think that their problems are our problems.
It's not understanding.
It's not understanding. So that's why it always comes back to understanding, detachment, not a matter of them and us. Or
but it can be also knowing that there's no appreciation at that time too.
For a moment. For a moment.
Yeah.
But shouldn't we still differentiate between a moment of not knowing avicca and a moment of michatiti? Michatiti seems to be the real problem than just moha.
But perhaps Vince's point is it's easier to point out other michatiti and to really understand it when it arises now, like even in the middle of a Dhamma discussion, there are bound to be moments of michatiti arising. But
yeah, that's what they have written maybe about some Tibetan monasteries. 1,000 monks, 1,000 religions.
And what does it mean?
It means, I understand what you were saying the other day about that it cannot be generalized. The way it happens in my life cannot be identical with the way it happens in somebody else's life.
I think you're referring to the discussion about each one in their own way. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, it is unique as it happens, but the characteristics of the dhammas as they arise, of the namas and rupas, or whatever arises.
And what about the months and 20?
A thousand monks, thousand religions.
Thousand monks. And what does that mean, the sign? Just one's own way or what? Or more meaning? Or different meaning?
Concepts, isn't it, actually?
Concept about
religion rather than knowing, having understanding of it. There's just concepts about the religion, so there's a thousand different concepts.
To encourage people to have more or what?
What you are discussing is beyond my knowledge. I heard the terms, but I don't think I really get the real understanding of the meaning, but I perceive it as the base for, or the foundation for further studying.
We too, we hear the terms Nama and Rupa, but we don't really understand as non-self, or as only Dhamma, like Ajahn says. Yeah. For us, very difficult. So it's the same.
I think it's good for me and for you too, obviously, that we have the sort of the session that we are here and reviewing what we've been doing.
But what you're saying is it's not the actual practice.
What do you mean, the actual practice?
Well, I'm just wondering if that's what you're saying, that it's good to discuss and review things, but there's also the practice.
We have in mind that we want to keep this as ongoing in our daily life, but sometimes it's just like gone.
It slips.
That's right.
And then, but also, it slips
too all the time.
It's the same. That's why we are here.